Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the righteousness of Christ as we pick up in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 2. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
I always like to keep the Lord between me and Satan. I feel so much safer when I do. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Referring actually to Satan, he's like a brand, a coal, a live coal that's been plucked out of the fire. Now, the Bible uses this phrase in the New Testament as far as our winning some of the lost, that we, in winning the lost, are plucking coals right out of the fire, and there are people that are almost in hell. And by our bringing the glorious news of Jesus Christ and their reception of it, they are like brands plucked out of the fire. Now, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Now, here's the high priest, clothed with filthy garments as he stood before the angel. Now, in the scripture, garments are representative of a person's righteousness. And filthy garments represent a person's self-righteousness, or that righteousness that you have created for yourself by your own good works. Paul speaks about his endeavors under the law in Philippians chapter 2. And in speaking of all of his adherence to the law, he said, those things which were gained to me, I counted loss for the righteousness of Jesus Christ, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count them as refuse that I may know him and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of Christ through faith. So here was Joshua standing there before the Lord in filthy garments. Jeremiah said, our righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. How crass can we be trying to present ourselves to God in our own righteousness? Well, Lord, here I am. Let me tell you what I've done for you this week. Sit down, Lord. Let me brag a bit, you know. And I'm trying to present myself to God in my righteousness, and they're as filthy rags in his sight. In the book of Revelation, John sees the saints of God clothed in fine linen, pure and clean. And the fine linen, the white linen, is the righteousness of the saints. But what is the righteousness of the saints? It is that which God has imputed to you because you have believed in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if I can be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, then it's sheer stupidity for me to try to come before God in my righteousness and in my goodness. That just doesn't make sense. When God is willing to accept me in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it's absolute folly for me to try to present to God my own righteousness. So he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, this is the angel of the Lord, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe you with a change of raiment. Oh, what a glorious day that was when God did that for me. Standing before the Lord, he said, take off his filthy garments. And then he said, behold, I'm going to clothe you with new raiment. The righteousness of Christ, in which I am clothed tonight through my faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, I'll tell you, this was one of the most glorious experiences of my whole Christian walk. And it came to me right out of Romans. And I said, let them set a fair mitre or crown upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, And they clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my charge, then you shall also judge my house, and shall also keep my courts. And I will give thee places to walk among these that are standing by. So walk in my ways, do my charge, do my work, and you can dwell in my courts and judge there. Now the sixth vision, hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, you and all of your fellows that sit before you, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. And here we have now the prophecy of Jesus Christ in Jeremiah and in Isaiah. Jesus is referred to as the branch, the righteous branch that shall come out of the root of Jesse, Jesus Christ. I am going to bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove iniquity of the land in one day. And in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Looking on into the glorious kingdom age, when Jesus comes again, the branch and establishes his kingdom, and the iniquity will be purged in a day, and the Lord will reign, and every man neath his vine and fig tree shall live in peace and be not afraid. And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Now the angel that talked with me came again, and he waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, What do you see? And I said, I have looked, and behold, there's a candlestick of gold. And there's a bowl on the top of it, and there are seven lamps. And the seven pipes are leading to the seven lamps, which are upon the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, the one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me said, Don't you know what these are? And I said, No, my Lord. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? For before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, shouting, Grace, grace unto it. So this next vision is like a Rube Goldberg contraption. One of the jobs of the priest was to daily fill the cups of the menorah, the lampstand, the golden lampstand in the tabernacle with oil, because God commanded that the light should never go out. The golden lampstand within the tabernacle was a symbol that Israel was to be the light of the world, or that God would, through them, shine forth his light to the world. Even as Jesus said to the church, Ye are the light of the world. City set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle to put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick that it might give light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. God's people, he has always intended to be a light in this dark world. And that is why God said, don't ever let the light go out. So every day the priest had to pour the oil into these cups. And any task that you do every day can get monotonous. Dishes, diapers, whatever. When you do it every day, it can become tedious. And so man is always using his inventive mind to get out of work. And we are always figuring out contraptions by which we can make our work a little easier. Isn't that true? You're working on some kind of job and you think, well, now if I did this and fastened this here, you know, I can make this, you know, and always make it a little easier. So Zechariah, being a priest, was struck with this brilliant idea. If there were just plumbing, pipes, connected to the olive trees that would go right into the bowls. Then the oil could flow right out through these pipes and keep the bowls full. There would be a constant supply of oil. And so when Zechariah saw this contraption with the pipes coming from the olive trees into the bowls, he said, "What in the world is this? Constant supply of oil, never running out of oil?" Lord said, "Don't you know what this is?" "No." "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, 'It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.'" Now, in allegories, parables, dreams, visions, oil is always symbolic of the Holy Spirit. That is why the Lord said, "It's by my spirit, saith the Lord." That is, there is a constant source available of power for you through the Spirit. And the work of God for the filling of the oil and so forth was the work of the Lord assigned to the priest. But the work of God is not to be accomplished by might or by power. But the work of God can only be accomplished by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, it is extremely important before we engage in any work for God that we seek to discover the leading of the Spirit. The secret to any successful work for Jesus Christ is discover how the Spirit is moving and move with the Spirit. For it is not by might, nor by power. The word might is the assembling of armies, the organizing of forces or committees to organize forces. The word power is the word force itself. Now, we see so many people trying to force the work of God, trying to force the gospel down their friends, trying to force the issues. I've often said to people who have asked me concerning how can you know the leading of the Lord and how can you know what God wants to do, I have said, God so often leads us through open doors, and if God opens a door, go through it, but if he closes it, don't break it down. That's where we make our mistake. So often we think, oh, God wants me to do this, and a door will close, and we'll say, all right, I'll bash that one down. You know, and I'm going to push it through. I'm going to make it go. And more energy and effort and money has been spent in trying to make a dead program go. I spoke in Lubbock, Texas at a Southern Baptist church. Pastor Jones back there. And he said, "You know, I came to the place in my ministry when I was so tired of pushing a program, we decided that we weren't going to give artificial support to any more programs in the church. If it didn't run on its own initiative, we were going to let it die a decent death." And he said, "You'd be amazed at how many things have died around here. Just not going to push programs anymore. We're just going to let the Spirit operate and govern in the church, that which he wants. And if it doesn't run on its own initiative, we're just going to let it die with dignity." Their Sunday school even died. I said, "Well, what about that?" He said, "Great, we love it." They'd gone to junior churches and all, but It's I think, legitimate. I think that the church has made a terrible mistake in trying to push programs, trying to force a program to work, trying to organize and mobilize the forces to get the work of God done. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. When we had built a little chapel a block away, and things were going great, into triple services, had enlarged the sanctuary, putting 500 chairs out in the patio, and the place was just jammed all three services on Sunday morning. We were faced with a dilemma. Winter was coming. What are we going to do? A fellow in the church said, well, he said, I was with the syndicate. We bought 10 acres over on Fairview, and we've just lost it. He said, we've been trying to make deals on it for years. Nothing works. He said, I believe that God wants that for the church. I think that's why the Lord had me go with the syndicate to just hold the thing 4 years ago so that the church could have it. And he said, I would be very glad to just accept my losses if the church got that 10 acres. He said, we just couldn't keep up the payments anymore. And in fact, they took a four-year note from the lady who owned it, and the 4 years had come due, and they just didn't have the money to go on. They had purchased it 4 years earlier for $456,000. And I said, well, we don't have that kind of money. There's no way we can afford 10 acres. Then I got to thinking, well, let's see. If we sold off 5 acres, we could probably get our money back if we could buy it for a decent price. If we could, say, move into what their position was even and buy it for $456,000, maybe we could sell off half of it and all we need is five. That's 5 acres more than we'd ever need for our church. I had tremendous faith. One of the fellows in the church, and I dismissed it, oh, that's too much money. We just don't have it. We can't do it. We just, you can't borrow. Churches have difficult time borrowing money. So a fellow in the church came to me and he said, I believe that the woman who owns that property would sell it for $300,000 cash. He said, you see, her taxes have lapsed and she's been living off of the money, the interest that these guys have been paying her. And now that she doesn't have the money coming in, she's in bad shape. And actually, the taxes are due and she can't pay them. I think she'd take $300,000 cash just to get out of it. And that will last her well for the rest of her life because she's in her late 70s. I said, oh, she'd never take $300,000 cash. She just foreclosed on a $456,000 note. And they bought it 4 years ago. The price has gone way up since then. He said, would you give me the permission to offer her $300,000 cash in the name of the church? I said, sure, of course, why not? You know. Foolish man. And he called me up on the phone all excited. He said, she accepted it. I said, great, what do we do now? Where do we get $300,000 cash? He said, well, he said, I have a note that I think she'll take. It's a first trust deed on some apartments, and it's for $90,000, and I'd be glad to loan that to the church for 1 year interest-free. The church had $60,000 in the bank. And he said, I think the savings and loan, because it's such a good buy, will loan you half of it on a property loan for 2 years. So we went down to the savings and loan, and it was such a good buy. They said, yes, they would loan us $150,000 for 2 years. And 11% interest. So we bought it. Now, this was obligating us pretty heavy because this was just bare farmland at that time. And we knew that we had to put parking lot, we had to put street improvements on Sunflower Boulevard, sidewalks over there, we had to put, we had to put the buildings in and everything, and we knew it was going to run a parcel of money. And so I would drive home from church coming up Sunflower Avenue here, and I'd park at the left turn signal to go on down Fairview, and I would look over at this bare 10 acres, and I'd start getting heart palpitations. And I'd say, Chuck, what are you doing? Obligating those people for that property, and the purchase of the property is just the beginning. What are you getting yourself into? And I begin to think, I wonder if we can back out of it. I wonder if there's something we can do to get out of it. What am I doing? And I just would start getting frantic thinking about the money that was going to be needed for all of this. And as I was sitting there, my palms would begin to sweat. And I think, oh, please, light turn green. I can't stand this. I can't stand looking at that property over there. It's wiping me out. And the Lord would speak to me. And he'd say, whose church is it? I said, it's your church, Lord. He said, then what are you worried about? If it's my church, what does it matter to you if it goes broke? What difference does that make to you if it's my church? I said, well, I really don't know, Lord. I guess it doesn't make any difference. Your church, fine. You created the problem. Take care of it. And by the time I'd hit the San Diego freeway, I had such glorious victory, just praising the Lord for his church.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Zechariah on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Zechariah 3 through 4 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and keep you in His love and grace. May the Lord watch over you, and may you be filled with His Spirit and walk in the strength and in the power of the Spirit of God as He anoints you day by day. May you be enabled by Him, and may you enter into that fullness that He has for you, walking with the Lord, loving the Lord, listening to the Lord. May your mind and heart be clear, sensitive to God and to the things of the Spirit. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Sometimes it's difficult to know what to say or how to help someone who is going through a recent death in the family or a sudden tragedy that's happened. And it's in times like this that we want to be used by God to bring encouragement, hope, and most of all, love to our family and friends who are going through a hardship. That's why I'd like to tell you about a book by Chuck Smith called When the Storm Hits. I'm amazed when I read this book that it's able to encourage and strengthen a person and persuade them to look to Jesus and not at their problem. It encourages us to be patient, not to lose hope, and when the storm hits, to get anchored on Jesus, the rock, and don't let go. To order a copy of Chuck Smith's book, When the Storm Hits, please call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673. Or you can visit us online to read a preview of the book by visiting thewordfortoday.org.